and welcome to the Movies on the Brain podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brian C. Wood, and with me here tonight for our special Comic-Con Hall H 2022 recap, my good friend and co-host,
Chad Mitz.
Welcome to another weird, wild, and wacky week of two dudes sitting around the proverbial watering hole talking about movies, which is apparently deeply offensive to people who also make part of their living gathering around a waterhole and talking about movies. So, Chad, Marvel and DC, Game of Thrones, well, not Game of Thrones, House of Dragon, Star Trek, all paraded themselves through Hall H, the Orville, many other projects made their way through Hall H today. We started the day with controversy, and we end with a 90-minute drumbeat of crazy insanity. Your thoughts, sir, on the day?
What can I say without getting into the specifics? I forgot how much fun these days are, because even before the pandemic, we haven't had a Comic-Con like this in a while, where we know Warner's and we know Marvel are coming, and then we're sitting here constantly refreshing things. The last time I really remember it was, it seems like the Justice League year. There's probably one after that, but Justice League year seems to be the one that stands out in my mind. So I like getting that feeling back. Just speaking of the big two of the panel, so DC and Marvel, overall from both, I like what we heard and saw from both. However, it's really like at the end of the night, my real chief thought is that these, like college football and the NFL, are the same sport, but really they're different sports. I think it's the same with these two studios. They're playing different games. And I think we as the audience need to be perceptive that they're playing different games and maybe not judge one against another because they're completely different. And I think one needs to recognize that we're not playing the same game either. We need to focus on what we are and let people judge us for what we are instead of this other game that we can't even get on the same field with. I think I'll leave it at that till we get to the specifics.
I mean, to me, it was a crazy day. Okay. So, me just had a very long conversation about Matt Goldberg's kind of skid on Twitter about, you know, sucking the fun out of what we're doing. But to the outside world, it would be absolutely ridiculous for dudes to be sitting around on their phones or other computers doing nothing but refreshing Twitter every 30 seconds with gleeful anticipation, waiting to see what was coming next. And yet it brought so much joy to my heart to do that this weekend. Like, it was so much fun. And that it wasn't just DC and Marvel. It was the Star Trek panels and learning that they're heading toward a major crossover event, and with their live action stuff. It's me learning about, you know, Picard season 3, which is basically old man Logan of the next generation group. You know, it's my excitement for a Dolly Parton cameo on the Orville, and about the fact that the Orville is going to be, all three seasons of the Orville will be on Disney Plus starting next month. It's about finding out that George R.R. Martin finally understands that after all these years, people are still very mad at him for not finishing a book. And he thinks that maybe he should finish a book, although it doesn't matter anymore because no one's following the books anymore. But like, that was fun for me. You know, it's the idea of hitting the refresh button and not knowing what's coming next and anticipating, and the joy and the glee and the oh my God of it all is just so much fun. And it gives me stuff to talk about on this podcast with you. you were live tweeting so much stuff today on our own official new Twitter account, letting people know about that because we need to get our follower count up so that more people know about our wonderful podcast. But like, these are the days where things are good. You know, we're going to sit through a football season, a college football season, that is probably going to end up in December, in the first Saturday in December, with some variation of Alabama-Georgia in the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
But what we get before that is 12 consecutive weeks of craziness. And the thing is, there's going to be some day in the middle of October where Kentucky beats Georgia and, you know, Ole Miss beats Alabama, and then all of a sudden the world's thrown into chaos, and we get a chance to sit around and talk about it, and we feel energized and happy and like we get the opportunity to have hope. And that's what today represents, hope and the fun of having speculative conversation. I know people hate teaser culture, but like, this isn't teaser culture. This is just giving us a reason to sit around and talk about movies, which is something that we both really love and really enjoy. So like, today, as crazy and benign as scrolling through Twitter and refreshing Twitter can seem, it was a great joy for me today.
Hear, hear.
By the way, I have officially cursed the University of Kentucky's football team, but that's a matter for another day. So, Chad, let's talk about your hobby horse since they started off the day. You did an entire podcast for 30 minutes talking about the reasons why Henry Cavill would probably not show up to the DC panel. While you hoped he would, you were pretty certain that that was a long shot of things that would happen. People on the internet took a well-intentioned piece on Deadline, ran with it, got their expectations up, and then were hugely disappointed when the thing they were told might be true wasn't true. So your thoughts on the DC panel and the trailer and panel for Shazam Fury of the Gods, and the trailer and panel for Black Adam, which included the most electrifying entrance in Comic-Con history.
Okay, so let me start with the expectations of it all. Because, yeah, as you said, the Henry Cavill rumor started at Deadline. Deadline, who most people think of as a reputable source, and they said they had a source.
Thursday?
I think it was Wednesday. I think it had to be Wednesday. Yes, it was Wednesday because we recorded back-to-back days, and then the next day that happened.
Yes. This is our fourth episode of the week, Chad.
Yes, yes. So they're a reputable source. Deadline's a reputable source. And they said they had a source that said Cavill was going to make an appearance at Comic-Con to talk things Superman. So that set the next three days, people that talked about Comic-Con in relation to DC were also mentioning Henry Cavill and Superman and all that speculation that came with it. So it built a level of expectation for certain people. Now, was that Warner Brothers' fault that someone leaked bad information to Deadline? No. Was it Warner Brothers' fault that people took that speculation and ran with it and built up expectation? No, it's not their fault. However, once you realize that that is what's going on, that something you didn't do outside of your control was going on, and people are really excited for that, and you know that is not what you have planned or not have what's going on, even though you didn't start it, you have to deal with it. And to me, the best way to deal with it is to squash that rumor outright. And I know it's difficult because if DC were to come out like days before and say, yes, we see the rumor, no, there's no truth to it, people are going to think you're lying. If you wait till the very beginning of the panel and say, yes, we know you've heard the rumor, unfortunately, that is not true, a lot of people aren't going to believe you. However, you've put it out there on the record. So once your panel is done, people can't look at you and be like, I was expecting this and you didn't give it to me. When all you have to do at that point is be like, I told you that wasn't happening. You didn't believe me. Therefore, now it's not a me problem. It's a you problem. And I think that has colored the entire DC panel. DC clearly came out there with a plan. They only wanted to promote their upcoming, the movies that are closest to coming out, the ones that are actually coming out this year, only this calendar year. So Black Adam and Shazam. That's all they wanted to do. Because if you know the other two movies coming behind him, they have some very big casting issues. So they want to focus on those. They feel confident in those. They have, I mean, one of the greatest showmen alive, The Rock. And they have a movie that is in Shazam is a sequel to one of their more well-received and well-rounded movies. It makes sense. We're going to bring out the short bets. We'll parade everybody out. We'll give them trailers. And we'll have, you know, will it be a, like, unforgettable panel? No. But it'll be a steady, solid panel. But then this rumor comes out and out there, and it just hangs over the whole thing. And then instead of them squashing it, they actually lean into it. I know that the people, I know Zachary Levi and The Rock didn't bring this up, and these are questions from the audience. But if you know, again, if you know this rumor is there, and you're taking questions from the audience, you're asking for, you're basically saying, ask us about Henry Cavill. That's what this is. So just tell people that is not happening. Don't let them ask questions and then the people have to play coy and it seems like they're playing coy because you're going to get it at the end when you know that's not going to happen. So that whole part of the DC experience, it colored the whole panel. Even now, when people are talking about the DC panel hours later, it's all through the lens of what happened with Henry Cavill. Even if you don't think it's Warner Brothers' fault, people are still talking about it. That's why it would have been the responsible thing to do to just get that out of the way first. But now it's forever staying with this panel that had really nothing to do with that. The people involved didn't ask for it. They didn't do it. They got saddled with it. And unfortunately, they're going to have to deal with the consequences of a false rumor, but then not handling it in a better way.
Okay. So you know what the thing I was thinking about all day, all morning while this was going on?
What's that?
The Royal Rumble 2013. You know why I was thinking of the Royal Rumble 2013?
Oh, they all blend Royal together.
That Royal Rumble was held in Atlanta, and it was the one right before WrestleMania 30. And a guy named Dave Bautista won the Royal Rumble. And in the week before that Royal Rumble, the WWE put out intentionally to all of the dirt sheets, no one's pulling double duty. No one's pulling double duty. They repeated it multiple times to multiple sources throughout that week. No one's doing double duty. Do you know who had a match on that card early in the night?
Was that a Daniel Bryan one?
That was Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble and go to WrestleMania and get his shot. And everybody was so sure that this was the narrative and this was the way Vince was going to go, that they thought, oh no, that those dirt sheet things, they mislead the dirt sheets all the time. That's just fake. They're just putting that out there as a decoy. We all know people traditionally in the history of the Royal Rumble have done double duty. Like, been plenty of people who have wrestled earlier in the night and come back into the Royal Rumble match midway through and won. It's totally plausible it could happen again. That they're just trying to throw us off the scent. And then you know what happened in the Royal Rumble match, Jed?
As I recall, he did not come out.
No one who wrestled earlier in the evening showed up. So, thereby, Daniel Bryan did not show up. And the WWE had tried to do the responsible thing through anonymous sources, telling the fandom, the thing that you want isn't going to happen. Please don't expect it. and did it multiple times across that week. They were not heated. And so people were so pissed after number 30 came out that they just hijacked the rest of the Rumble and booed the crap out of Batista in what was supposed to be Batista's crowning moment in his return final run with WWE. You know, and like, that's what I was thinking about all day to all morning this morning with Henry Cavill. Who do you think told Frosty, hey, can you put this out? That he's actually over in London shooting The Watcher season 3 right now. He's not going to be here. He can't physically be here. Can you please put that out? Who do you think told other people of reliable sources that we both know who said across the weekend, the early part of the weekend, no, it's not going to happen. Like, he's busy. He has other commitments. He's not going to be there. Like, I believe that they tried to address the rumor. I think where they failed and where they screwed up was Zachary Levi doing a double take, looking around, saying, I can neither confirm nor deny anything about Superman. And The Rock saying, well, it depends on who was cast as Superman. And, like, that's in the panel itself. That's not, like, after the panel in the press line. That is in the panel itself. So you're continuing to build on that momentum. If you're taking public questions, then you know this is going to come up. Give them a cue card and say, this is what you say. You don't do this kind of half-hearted dance answer, because the half-hearted dance answer continue to give them hope. It's like when entrant number 20 comes out in the Royal Rumble and you're still hoping that Daniel Bryan's there somewhere between 20 and 30 and this is all going to be okay. It's like, no, bruh. And then the panel ends and all anybody can talk about is, well, where's Henry? Mm-hmm. And then in midway through the afternoon, it becomes, well, you know what? Maybe Henry just decided to screw DC and is now working for Marvel as Captain Britain.
I did see those. I was amused by those. But yeah, that's a lot of what I feel about it.
You remember that. They hijacked the end of that Royal Rumble match. They were done. After number 30 came out, they were like, they realized it wasn't going to be Daniel Bryan. He was just done.
Yeah, and it, much like that, it didn't have to be that way. I see you do bring up a good point with Frosty and a few of the others, like, you know, saying, you know, he won't be there. But nobody ran with what Frosty said, like what Deadline said. And that's because Frosty is smart and savvy enough to say, and he'll say it in his tweets, it's like, I'll put little rumors and things in tweets. I won't put them on the site because I can't confirm them. So,
but he'll employ a Marvel. Never mind.
I guess because he puts those caveats in the tweets, people didn't go ahead and run with that. But
other people could have called his agent and confirmed the story that he was indeed shooting the show. Like, that takes a 30-second phone call to the agent.
That's true. But at that point, because Frosty put this out on, he put it out the same day, whatever day this news started. Yeah, Wednesday. So Wednesday, it was early. We got the Deadline rumor. It was that night Frosty put out his thing. But if you have all day to watch it as WB, you don't take the chance. You don't take the chance that somebody's going to pick up the phone and call the agents. Especially not when you have an open line of communication with all the trades. You can drop any kind of thing you want in the trades with some unnamed source. If they picked up the phone and said, called Hollywood Reporter, be like, yeah, that rumor's bunk. Run with that. Who's saying Hollywood?
Gets the monkey off their back.
Yeah, Hollywood Reporter's running that. And everybody, some people might still think they're getting worked. But if he does, when he doesn't show up, it's like, oh, well, damn, they were telling the truth. And at that point, most of the people be like, well, that's my fault because they did tell me. And then you don't have to, you might have a few of these people that are upset at you because Henry came, and even though you never said it. But I don't think you're dealing with what you're dealing with now.
again, they just continue to nod at it through the panel. That's their problem. Like, if you, like you said, you didn't address it at the outset of the panel, and you kept taking the fan questions, and the fan questions, like who would win in a fight, are going to naturally come up, and you didn't give Zachary Levi or The Rock, you know, talking points on that topic. Like, you failed to put the fire out, and then you got caught on fire at the end, and you're surprised. It's like, oh, I didn't know The Undertaker was going to choke slam me through that table that's on fire. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, everything, dude. Everything.
So, but the content's great. See, that's my problem. You bury the lead when you talk about the Henry Cavill stuff because they gave you precisely what they told you they were going to give you starting at the beginning of the week. There's going to be a Black Adam trailer and a Black Adam panel. There's going to be a Shazam panel and a Shazam trailer. Those are the two things that we can guarantee you. Those are the two casts that will be there. And that's it. That's the list. Warner Brothers isn't even doing a full, like, panel. They're not doing, like, what they've done in past years where it's all of their movie slate, right? They're not bringing Oppenheimer. They're not bringing, or not Oppenheimer. They're not bringing Barbie. They're not bringing Don't Worry, Darling. They're not bringing any of these other projects that they've got in development that could appeal to that audience. They're just bringing their DC stuff. And they just brought their DC stuff, and they told us what DC stuff they were bringing, and they gave us a lot of more content even than that. Because I feel like we got more information about both of these films today than we've gotten in the entire press cycle so far. And I feel like we saw more of the movie in these two trailers than we've seen in either one of the marketing so far. So I feel like it would have been a successful day. Now, is it going to be what we just sat through for the last 90 minutes? No, but it doesn't need to be. It just needs to get people excited for those two movies that don't have any casting issues, that don't have any negative issues associated with it. Get people excited for these movies and let's move on.
Yeah, that's what it should have been. That is everything it should have been, but unfortunately, that's not where we're at. But
I mean, was there anything that you like really enjoyed from those panels? I mean, I enjoyed the entrance. I mean, Rock definitely is theatrical in his entrances and knows how to pull stuff off.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the full Rock entrance as Black Adam. I was so busy trying to keep up with all these tweets, I never got around to watching it. But just what I saw, and knowing who he is and how he is, I know that had to be cool as hell. But I like both of the panels for what they were. They wanted to bring you things from the movie. This is like the first official things we've seen from Shazam, and we got a shorter but better look at Black Adam. And both of those trailers did their job. They got me excited for the movie, and you bring the stars out to bring the excitement to the room, to bring excitement to the movies. Then you show that footage. I think they did their for what they were trying to do. They did their jobs. I really, really enjoyed the Shazam footage.
I love the fact that he makes a Fast and the Furious reference to Helen Mirren.
Yeah, because I didn't catch it. You know, I know it's Helen Mirren, but it didn't register until you just said it. And now I'm doubly happy about that. But people have been since Shazam came out, people have been making the whole leap in logic that, you know, it's the same thing as Fast and Furious. It's all about family. So for them to kind of get meta on it and then really get meta because it's Helen Mirren, I really enjoyed that. And that movie looks like it's building upon everything that worked in the first movie. And the director said it in the panel himself. He said, we got more money and we use it. So it's building up on everything. They got more money to use it. That movie looks fun. It looks like it's going to be another good time. And it looks like it's a good take on the character. And it's something I think DC needs. They've got a team that knows what these characters are, and they're building to those strengths. And that is a good thing. So I'm really, really excited to see Shazam. The Black Adam stuff, I didn't hate the first trailer, but this trailer is way better. And seeing Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate and everything that was Dr. Fate in this trailer looks really good. And I don't really like Dr. Fate, but he looks cool as hell in this world and everything around it. We got more story beats of what the movie's going to be. Not a whole lot, but enough that I felt better with Black Adam in this trailer than I did for the first one. All the stuff with the JSA is cool. That what looks to be the beginning fight with Hawkman, that was really exciting to see. So it did what it did. It played up everything that's going to get us excited, and then you have The Rock out there showing up as Black Adam, and then them all talking about it. It was a good job. I think it made people that were on the fence after the first trailer, I think this trailer and this panel have probably turned them around, and maybe more people are excited. And that's the goal. That's what you want. People to be excited about what's coming up.
I agree. I think that they had a very successful day.
Yeah. If outside of, you know, Rumorgate, it is a successful day. I will say this. Because it was only two movies. But I understand that they pretty much this whole week, they've only said they're bringing those two movies. So for what it was, what they wanted, it was a success, I would say, the panel itself. But I also say that when we're so used to Comic-Con being like big and bombastic, and yes, you do what you do with those panels, but you also give the fans, it's about making excitement for the fans. And even though, I mean, I know seeing The Rock as Black Adam is exciting for those fans in the panel, Comic-Con is a little bit bigger than that, and it gets everybody around the world that's into this stuff excited. They should have had something else, but I understand because of where WB is right now. They're in a state of flux as a company. They're in a state of flux with DC Films. Like, what are they going to do? So I understand focusing on what you have here and now, but on the other hand, if that's all you have for the here and now, they probably could have done this and waited for FanDome. They didn't have to wait for FanDome, but if they wanted to wait till FanDome,
it's even going to be a thing.
Yeah. The flip side to that is FanDome is normally in October when Black Adam comes out. So if you want to get a little bit of juice for Black Adam before then, I get it. But that's the only, like, panel wise, that's the only thing. It's like, it was those two things, nothing else. They might not be in a position to give us anything else, and that's kind of disappointing.
This is Chad Metz saying that if they'd have dropped a little bit of footage from Dune Part 2, everybody in the room would have gone crazy.
I mean,
they've only been shooting for less than a week, so that wasn't going to happen. But, like,
the people in the room,
if you drop the trailer that you dropped earlier in the week for Don't Worry, Darling, if you drop that trailer in Hall H, you know, the Henry Styles of it all, the Harry Styles of it all is gonna wow that trailer onto bigger and better heights.
Yeah, so the people in the room would have gotten excited. There would have been people that would have gotten excited, but for me, that's, you know, comic book, don't really care about Dune. I still would have been like, can you give us some more, like, a DC surprise? But I get it. I get it.
Well, and you also have to understand too that they have the hot potato they don't want to touch. Like, yeah, they're looking for positive vibes and positive energy and positive reaction. They don't want to get into a room that could very easily be divided amongst Amber Heard supporters and Johnny Depp supporters and get into that whole conversation about is she fired, is she not? And you don't want to get into what Ezra Miller is or has done in recent months. And so this is a way to keep the juices flowing on the upbeat positive side. And I can't really blame them there.
No, I can't blame them, but it's just like a critique that's not involved with the rumor. That's my only critique, that
But I guess that's kind of my point. Outside of the rumor being true, there wasn't a whole lot else they could do.
Well, and yeah, and that's kind of the thing. It's like they're not in a position for it. But I mean, even if it was something little,
this is your reminder, Chad. These same people did a slate announcement in an investor call in 2012.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're not the same people now. It's the same company, but not the same people, thankfully. But like, if they wanted to like really reach, they could have been like the Batman 2, blah blah blah. But I just don't think they're in a position.
Which Matt Reeves was at the Comic-Con along with Paul Dano this weekend to promote Riddler Year One, which is the comic book based on his version of the Riddler that was in the Batman.
Yeah. And like, everybody knows the Batman 2 is going to happen at some point. We don't know when, but if they, like, something like that is, it's kind of a surprise, but not really. But, you know, you could have pulled it out if you really wanted to. But that, it's just, in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of like a minor critique. Hopefully they've learned from this, and now a year from now, they'll be in a better place and they can do whatever, and we can get these surprises and whatnot.
All right, Chad, 30 to 45 minutes into our podcast, let's move on to the House of Ideas, because Marvel has certainly brought all of the ideas. You know,
how did we do 30 minutes on DC?
It's your hobby horse, Chad.
This is true. This is true.
It's your hobby horse. We've seen you do 30 minute solos on that. Chad, the MCU, wandering aimlessly, no direction, no point to it all. And then today happened.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I keep trying to find a comprehensive list. I make sure.
So where IMDb Pro would be useful, because then you could just look at the upcoming Marvel release dates in chronological order, but even that wouldn't give you the TV shows.
Yeah, it's let me see if I can find some of the retweets that I did, at least so I can have the little graphic. All right.
Question. that's funny.
What happened?
If Ryan Gosling wants to be Ghost Rider, who else? Oh.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like, wait, what? So we're in a Marciano Ali situation where if Ryan Gosling wants to do this, you'll just make a way to happen, make it happen?
I mean, I guess.
All right, so let us begin our stroll through the whole of the MCU announcements today. Phase 4, Phase 5, and Phase 6.
All right, so it's, first so of all, let me.
Prior wait. To today, we knew that we had just finished Love and Thunder, mm-hmm. which was technically the last project announced at Comic-Con 2019.
Mm-hmm.
He teased Mutants, he teased the Fantastic Four, and then he brought Marciano Ali out on stage and announced they were doing a Blade movie.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, every project that was announced at Comic-Con 2019 was now done. We knew that Wakanda Forever and She-Hulk were coming. That's the rest of what is left in 2022. Beyond that, prior to tonight, we knew that Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, The Marvels, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 were coming in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
We did not know what was on tap for 2024 and 2025. Mm-hmm. What we got tonight was everything from February 13th, 2023 to November 3rd, 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chad, let's walk through what is... Let's start off with this question. Where does Phase 4 end?
So Phase 4 ends with Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which is officially titled Black Panther Wakanda Forever. We talked about
Because I'd seen some folks speculating online that they were going to drop a title that was going to talk about Neymar the Submariner. Uh-huh. And I'm like, no, it's already got a semicolon in it. So you're not going to do semicolon and then semicolon. Doesn't work. Okay. Too much to put on a poster.
Yeah. Wait, before we walk through that, let me just say that what we're about to talk about, he dropped most of this in the first 5 minutes of that panel. Like, I was tweeting furiously because he was just saying stuff. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is really, like, he's just saying this, and this is how he's opening the panel?
He said phase six, man.
It's all within the first five, 10 minutes.
But it's three of the biggest movies you could possibly make at the studio.
Look, let's see, phase six, he waited till he got, like, they waited till they got to, like, the middle of it to drop those. But to say phase four is done, it's done in Black Panther. And then he laid out all of phase five. And then he started the panel like normal. And then the middle panel is like, eh, we got phase six too. We got this. We're starting with this one. And we're going to end it with these two. Like, what? What? Okay. Okay. So.
Yeah, it's the most casual thing I've ever seen. Here are our next two Avengers movies. And now on to Black Panther. So, we've talked about the past. We've talked about the future. Let's talk about forever.
So when the panel started like that, I'm like, oh, so they're really dropping some big stuff tonight. And we didn't get the big things I expected, but the way it closed, and we'll get to that, like, they know what they're doing because they closed with the one thing we knew we were getting, and it was the perfect end to this panel.
I had forgotten until you tweeted it out earlier in the day that the cast had not seen any footage from Black Panther until they showed it in Hall H.
Yeah.
And the reaction shot. And if I had known that, that would have made sense for why they were holding this long for the promotional materials to begin. Because you wanted to recreate that moment. And you did. You successfully recreated that emotional powerhouse moment down to the, I can feel his hand on my shoulder right now.
Yeah, it was, and where that one was just pure joy and adulation. This one was more like reverence and sadness, but it was still packed with emotion. And I didn't realize until I put that out today that, oh, this is the fifth anniversary of that. Okay, that makes sense. But we'll get to that. We'll see how much I can get to it when we get there, but we'll get to that.
All right. So phase four ends with She-Hulk, the She-Hulk attorney at law. What was
Black Panther's the end. Oh, what you mean for TV shows? Yes.
So the last two projects of phase four are She-Hulk Attorney at Law, which we got a new trailer for and a very big surprise. And then we get to Wakanda Forever. So yes. let's talk about She-Hulk Attorney at Law and the blind man making his appearance again.
That blind man kept popping up through this whole thing. But this is basically your second trailer, your story trailer. Tells you what's really going on. And it really sets the tone for how the series functions. There seems to be a lot of Bruce and Jennifer, and their interactions look really great. And I'm really excited to see those go. But it does look like we're getting a like law court drama in a superhero world with a superhero as one of the leads. So it's along with the normal court, like your court dramas, how they flow, you're going to deal with superhero stuff. So she's got to Hulk out in the middle of stuff because people are breaking out and all that kind of things. It looks like it's, again, I said fun. I think this was going to be fun too. People that are really in depth in the Marvel Universe, in the comics, I think you'll be really happy. There seems to be a lot of characters that show up. Frogman they showed him in the first trailer. They get a better look at him here. You get a better look at, I want to say it's Titana or Titiana. We'll find out more when we get to the show. And also, we know why Abomination is here, because Jennifer has to represent him. And if people thought that there was a loose end from the last time we saw Abomination, which was in Shang-Chi, no, we actually get Wong in this trailer to talk to Jennifer. We don't really know what for, but I bet it has something to do with Abomination, because that's what they gave to us. So there's a lot of things going on in this show, and it feels different, because this seems like, you know, there's comedy and Marvel stuff, but this is seeming like it's really going for the comedy in a different setting, the courtroom setting, with a lot of opportunity to have cameos galore. And it ended with a brief tease for the man of the hour on Disney Plus, Daredevil, who we officially got some more news of him, and we'll get to that later. But Daredevil's back, and that makes sense, because he is also a superhero and a lawyer. So how they integrate that, we don't know, because we only saw him briefly as Daredevil.
Yeah, she's in L.A., right? And he's in New York. So I don't really know how exactly that would work. It would make total sense, though, because she's not a closeted individual.
I'm pretty sure she's in New York.
See, that landscape and that poster made me think she was in L.A.
There's a lot of that kind of glamour stuff. And I know that, I mean, her and Bruce are like on a deserted island at some point. So there's that. But I'm pretty sure she's based out of New York.
But I mean, it's going to be interesting either way, because like, it's his next up appearance. And that's just kind of crazy that, you know, this guy was dead on Netflix 2 years ago. And now here we are, you know, bringing him back.
Yeah, yeah. And he's coming back in a big way. Big, big way.
So, look, this had very much to me had the feel of Marvel does Ally McBeal. And that's okay. I like that. I can get behind that. I am very much all here for the Abomination. I'm very much all here for Tim Roth being back in the MCU and actually having dialogue. Very much all here for Wong having to explain his money-making scheme, side hustle as the Sorcerer Supreme. I'm here for all of it. Looks really fun, looks really interesting, and I can't wait.
All right, so I guess now we're on to phase 5 until the end, right?
Right. Let's go with... we're not going in the order that they presented things, because they presented things in such a crazy...
They sure did, man.
A crazy manner. But let's move on to Quantumania. They drop a poster for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, before the panel starts. You see Kang the Conqueror looming in the background, with our three main leads in the foreground. We know from Ms. Marvel, the TV show, that Scott Lang has had a podcast where he has not been able to shut up about the events in the Battle of Upstate New York, or the Battle of Avengers Compound, or whatever term they're going to use. He's not been able to shut up about it. So now he's apparently writing a book, which is his fame's going to his head and alienating him from his family, which would seem kind of weird, considering that he lost his daughter for 5 years of his life. And then all of a sudden his daughter's back in his life. You think, you know, losing, you know, 5 years of your daughter's life would make you more appreciative and wanting to be around her more. But, you know, that's just me. Yeah. So your thoughts on the panel, the information that we got about Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and Jonathan Major showing up to wave himself as Kang.
I'm so excited to see Jonathan Majors as Kang.
And to know that officially, after tonight, he has replaced Josh Brolin as the dude in the MCU.
He is the dude, which, looking at this, I don't know. I don't know if we see him again until we get to those Avengers movies, but that's a little bit ahead.
I think you wouldn't see him until the Fantastic Four movie.
Yes, maybe that. the I wish we could have seen the footage, because I read a description. It does sound like Scott's fame is going to his head, and he and Hank get into it and then get sucked into the quantum realm. And then shenanigans ensue. Judging from that poster, and since we have a new actress that they brought out on stage to be Cassie, it looks like we're getting Stature, who was Cassie's alter ego in the comics. She does follow in Scott's footsteps. I think she's one that grows larger, but I don't know if she grows as like giant man large. I think it's a different kind of thing, but looks like we're getting that. But what stuck out to me most about the footage is one Kang line when he meets Scott and he says, it sounds like he's asking him, are you an Avenger? And then he's asked, have I killed you before? So it just seems like when he meets Scott, Scott is so inconsequential, he doesn't even know who he is through any of the times. And then there's the thing that apparently Bill Murray's in this movie. I don't know why. I think he's in the quantum realm.
Our good friend Jim Vavida has confirmed that that Bill Murray is not playing MODOK.
Yeah, well, after I tweeted that, everybody, I saw the tweets that were like, it looks like Bill Murray is the leader of the people they meet in the quantum realm, something like that. But yes, we also get MODOK. And if you see MODOK, you know how ridiculous MODOK looks. And I cannot believe this is the world we live in, that even after the Avengers game for PS4 came out like 2 years ago and MODOK was a villain in there and they made him look more reasonable. Even after that, I still didn't think we lived in a world where Marvel would put MODOK in a movie. But here we are. I don't know what he looks like, but I am so, so anxious to find out.
He looks good enough for people to be able to identify him in a short clip. So that's good. So, legitimate question. Can Patton Oswalt play two characters in the MCU? Because he's already Pip the Troll. And unfortunately, that means he probably can't voice Kang. Can't voice MODOK.
And, why not? So, Gemma Chang was straight up in Captain Marvel, like, as an antagonist. And is back in Eternals. Mahershala Ali was, granted, how you feel about the Marvel shows, he was Cottonmouth in Luke Cage, and probably the best thing about Luke Cage, and he's coming back as Blade. We don't even have to see Patton Oswalt if he's just going to lend he's only voicing Pip. I would imagine he's only going to voice MODOK. Why not?
I mean, because the animated show is quite funny. Quite mature, but quite funny.
I still haven't watched it.
It's hilarious. But yes, that's think of the MODOK family version of South Park.
One day I'll watch it.
So what else caught your attention? Because I didn't hear a whole bunch of talk about Michael Douglas. I didn't hear a whole bunch of talk about Michelle Pfeiffer. I just really heard about the three main leads, Evangeline Lilly, Paul Rudd, and then this new girl they brought on to play Cassie Lang.
So there's a bunch of different ways they can go. They did say that that they spend a lot of time in the quantum realm. So maybe it's just the fact that Hank doesn't get sucked into the quantum realm. It's just those three.
Well, somebody has to be actively working to get them out.
So yeah, so maybe it's Hank and Janet. And that would kind of make sense because Hank is not... At this point, Hank is not the superhero type. He is just the, you know, fatherly inventor type. So, yeah, I think the focus is going to be on Scott Hope and Cassie.
I just read the tweet that said that MODOK's shooting lasers. That's awesome. Yeah, and if somebody's got to actively be working to get him out of the quantum realm, and like, you can still have the split, you know, the split dynamics between the what's going on in the main world and what's going on in the quantum realm. Mm-hmm. I like the line about, you know, have I killed you before? I mean, it's all kinds of fun. And yeah. I'm looking forward to that dynamic because that's really going to be an interesting and fun way, because these Ant-Man movies have traditionally ended the phase. To have it starting a phase and have it starting a phase by introducing what is going to be the Thanos of this saga is a very interesting place to be.
It's because for him to be in like in an Ant-Man movie, which most people consider like the lesser movies of Marvel, to introduce the guy here, it's really, really interesting. I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with him from this point spinning out.
For sure. Because it's not like you get that guy for just one shot, you know?
Yeah, right.
So after Quantumania, we get Secret Invasion, in which we learned Olivia Colman is playing a character that is friendly, a former coworker of Nick Fury, who we didn't meet apparently in Captain Marvel, and that he's back on Earth. Nick is back on Earth, and he's not very happy about it. But as soon as he gets back to Earth, things get really crazy really quickly. Colby Smulders came out, made some comments about what was going on, and that was the extent of the information that we got about in Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion. Your thoughts?
Of all the things, I think of all the things they've announced here, even though we didn't get much, I think this is the one we got the most information on. That's a TV show. They got to see footage in the hall. It's described as kind of a darker tone and a thriller. The whole basis is that you don't know who's friend or who's foe, because you know they're Skrulls, they're shapeshifters. So who do you trust? And you're doing this spy story with Nick Fury. So I like it. I like the promise of it being a darker tone and something different. So, you know, we can continue to have the different shifts with what Marvel does. I'm looking forward to it. The only other thing I remember from the panel was that this will be the first time that War Machine comes back. Don Cheadle's James Rhodes, which makes sense too. So,
which was interesting because Armor Wars was not mentioned at all tonight.
Well, I'm curious about their rhyme or reason for the TV shows, because they show all the TV shows for Phase 5. They don't show any for Phase 6, and I think we'll get the. I think they held that off.
And there were plenty of spots for them.
Yes, I think they held that off for D23, and I think Armor Wars is going to be one of those. But I think they just gave us. I mean, really, this is like it's really going into the next 2 years. So they just laid it all out there, and there, you know, maybe there might be a couple TV shows that's in Phase 5 that they don't list here, because they don't list What If, which they have listed before, and we know that's coming next year. So there'll still be some more stuff that you're going to squeeze in on this.
All right, so let's move on to Baby Rocket Raccoon and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and all of the sadness and Gamora leading the Ravagers and all of the things, including the Great Evolutionary?
The High Evolutionary.
The High Evolutionary.
Yeah, that was the open secret. We've known pretty much since Peacemaker that I can't see his name, but he played their boss that turned out to be a butterfly in Peacemaker. We knew that he was joining Guardians, like right around the end of Peacemaker, that kind of came out, but they never said who he was. But it was kind of rumored that he was the high evolutionary, and that's exactly who he's playing. And the High Evolutionary appears to be the antagonist in this movie,
which is interesting because I think most people expected the adversary in this movie to be Adam Warlock.
Until I heard about High Evolutionary, yeah, I probably would have thought that. But once they started saying High Evolutionary kind of got attached, I'm like, okay, that's probably the person. I don't know how Adam fits into it. I mean, I know that, you know, he comes from the gold people, but I don't know how he's going to fit into it since he doesn't seem to be an antagonist. But James Gunn describing this movie as this is basically, to him, this is Rocket's movie. He says Rocket is the saddest creature in the universe. And it sounds like we're going to find out why he is that way. We're going to find out why he was made, we'll find out how he was made, because he does say we'll see a baby Rocket. And we know that the High Evolutionary is the one that made him, which that's one of the things I'm looking forward to in seeing Volume 3, is to go back to Volume 1 and see if there are any hints to that, because Gunn has said he's hinted at that all along. But it sounds like this movie is going to be fucking sad. The crew, the cast that was there, they were all crying because they knew when James Gunn came out, he said, this is the end of this incarnation of the Guardians. And it seems like it with them, because they're all sad and emotional talking about their time and experiences. And then the footage that they show is set to the Flaming Flamingos or something. The Do You Realize, which is a somber kind of song. I didn't really see all of the footage descriptions, but that set to that song, everything seems like this is like marching towards a sad ending. And
now he did say in fairness to Gunn that just because it's the end of a story doesn't mean everybody dies,
right? And I don't expect him to kill everybody, but for my sake and the sake of people in my house, one of those everybody needs to be Rocket that survives. And somebody explicitly said, like, there's a shot of the Guardians and Rocket is not there. And since this is Rocket's movie and he is the saddest person in the universe, there are a lot of things pointing to James Gunn having his targets squarely set on that little furry bastard. And that will be devastating to watch Rocket die. I don't think they will kill him. But that is where it is leading to Rocket being offed. And that's going to make a whole bunch of people feel a whole bunch of different ways. But it looks like it's going to be a good story from everything we heard at the panel. And if it's a good story, then it's done its job, even if we don't appreciate some of the things it did, like killing Rocket. I'm no way saying he's killing Rocket. I'm just trying to get myself prepared, so if it happens, I can have to deal with kid that's going to be losing her mind because she's been dreading this for literally years.
I mean, it's not like Bradley Cooper isn't capable of doing the emotional work to make Rocket the passing of Rocket Raccoon not be like emotionally heavy. Like, that man can act even through his voice.
I mean, he's already done it in the first one. Like, you feel for that. Look, the reason everybody likes Rocket is because in that first one, when everybody's picking on him and he breaks down and he finally like goes in, he calls me Rodan, he calls me this, and he just goes into like, I am asked to be made, and he's all frustrated and everything. Everybody feels Rocket in that moment. That is the moment everybody falls in love with Rocket.
Yeah, when he sees all the scars.
Yeah, so we know that they can pull the heartstrings with this little bastard, and they're going to do it to us.
Indeed. So let's move on. Charlie Cox, Vincent D'Onofrio, returning for Echo, Summer 2023. Nothing was said at this panel about that, but nope. It is indeed on the Phase 5 slate.
Right.
So that is a thing that happened today.
Yeah.
As also, Loki Season 2, which is now filming, is slated for Summer 2023. And The Marvels, which we just got done with the Ms. Marvel television show. The tag of said show was directed by Nia DaCosta, who is directing the movie The Marvels, which all three of them will be in. The Marvels is slated for July the 28th, 2023, almost exactly 1 year from now.
Yep.
And nothing was said at this panel about the Marvels. No footage was shown, nothing. Brie Larson, no mention of anything. Which brings us to our next movie, which again had somebody here, which was a surprise. Blade, which is scheduled for November the 3rd, 2023. Your thoughts, sir, on what we heard about Blade?
What did we hear about Blade besides that date?
You're correct, sir. I have completely lost my mind. We did not get Marciana Ali on stage this time.
No.
We did, however, get confirmation from Feige after the panel was over that the movie will start shooting in October.
Okay, I missed that one.
Yeah, the movie will start shooting in October. And also that we won't see very much footage from Guardians for a while, which makes sense. It's a May release. You don't really start rolling out that stuff till November, right around Wakanda Forever anyway. The next up was another thing that was kind of talked about, but not really, because they brought her out on the stage for Wakanda Forever. The Ironheart television series will begin in fall of 2023. And then Agatha, the previous title for this show when it was announced originally was Agatha House of Harkness. It has now been resubtitled Agatha Coven of Chaos, which might indicate that they are moving toward a different direction there. Because if you start talking about chaos magic and all the things, so you can bring the Scarlet Witch back because, you know,
all that's her thing.
Yeah, so that's winter 23, spring of 24. That brings us to the Daredevil Born Again on Disney Plus, which is coming spring 2024. Again, nothing really said about this tonight. Just we do know that Charlie Cox and D'Onofrio will return, right, and that we will obviously be seeing Daredevil pop up in a few places and Kingpin pop up in a few places between now and then.
Yep.
That brings us to the next reveal of the day, which is what we'd heard about over the last couple of months, really. We've heard some news on this. Captain America. We are getting a fourth movie. For better or for worse, the internet has to live with the fact that Sam Wilson is Captain America, so says Chris Evans. And it recently got its director. The writers are the same guys from Falcon and Winter Soldier. And it has a release date of May the 3rd, 2024. Your thoughts, sir, on the New World Order?
I think it was on Friday that a list of things that Marvel had like trademark drop, and this and actually two of the other things that came up were part of it. So when you first hear New World Order, particularly if you have some of our proclivities, it goes to wrestling, and I would normally steer people away from using stuff like that just because that was so prevalent and people have such an idea attached to it. But
in the Captain America space where you're dealing with geopolitics,
yes,
NWO is a completely different, has a completely different connotation and definition in the political science world than it does in the professional wrestling world.
Exactly. So seeing attached to Captain America, I think it would be, and knowing that we're getting Sam as Cap, as opposed to Steve, and everything that comes with Sam carrying the shield, I think that is a fitting title. I think that's a worthy title. So I think they did a good job picking that one.
Yeah, and like we also know that the big reveal of a Falcon and Winter Soldier was, A, how the world is reacting to Sam declaring himself Captain America at the end of that show, right? Uh-huh. And also, like, the big heel turn with Sharon Carter.
Right.
That she was actually the power broker and that she is kind of broken bad. And so we got a little bit in the show of Sharon Carter showing her more embittered side, especially in that apartment conversation that she had with Winter Soldier, with Bucky and Falcon. So it's clear that they're going in a more geopolitical route with, you know, the city that where no one faces any penalties and all the rest of it. So that'll be an interesting thing, because, you know, to me, New World Order has the potential to be a Winter Soldier type movie, and I really hope that they fulfill that promise.
Right.
And then we get the other movie that we have had rumors about for a hot minute. That story broke in late April, early May, about a Thunderbolts movie.
Right before
Thunderbolt Ross passed away. Your thoughts, sir, on a Thunderbolts movie? And again, because the movie does not come out until, checks notes, July 2024, it allows you time to go to next Comic-Con and do it that way.
Yeah. It was nice to see the confirmation. But yeah, like you said, we already knew. And if you watch the shows, you can kind of see them building towards that. So it was just a matter of where were they going to place it. So seeing where it's placed, it raises questions on how, like, what's going to happen in that movie. Because it's like, I guess it's kind of the middle. It's the thing right between, it's the end of five, it's the beginning of six, and we know what we're getting in six. And what we've seen so far is that they've kind of been divergent treks to where we're going. And Thunderbolts clearly seems to be on that track with the Captain America, the secret.
I would almost expect Sam to show up in a Thunderbolts movie.
I kind of would too, maybe, but I don't think he'll be there much. But it kind of depends on how they're going to play the Thunderbolts. Because in the comics, the Thunderbolts are villains. They disguise themselves as brand new heroes to be Thunderbolts, and then eventually, like being good, then they turn good.
What was that rumored lineup? I know Elena was in there. I know John Walker was in there.
Yeah.
I know Zemo was in there.
Yes.
Can you think of anybody else that was on that list?
No, those are like the main three.
Because
right
I know
now.
That those are the people that Val has talked to, and we know that Marvel has told actors to make sure they had room in their schedules to shoot.
Yeah. A lot of people think Bucky might have something to do with it. But yeah, I don't know who else. We will probably meet them over the course of the next year. But I'm just kind of interested what their take on the Thunderbolts are going to be.
Indeed. And I think that it's going to be interesting. I'm sure by this time, next Comic-Con, they'll be shooting and they'll have some footage and we'll have an actual panel for that, which I'm looking forward to because I do think that it can be a really exciting, again, Falcon and Winter Soldier. I know is not everybody's favorite. Again, I'm a dude who got excited because Jonathan Majors, like, basically, like, the entire finale of Loki is, do we depose the dictator or do we leave the dictator in power because it benefits us?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, such a geopolitical, like, war in Iraq thing to talk about in a Marvel context. I forgot. These movies don't deal with ideas at all. So, like, they're just fluff and junk. So, sorry for that. But anyway, I digress. Yes, I'm going to continue to be petty about this all night. The things that you lay out in Falcon and Winter Soldier, the world that you set, the themes that you're dealing with are completely different from anything else you did in Phase 4. And you could very easily use that as a track to do a New World Order movie and to do a Captain America 4 movie and then move on to a Thunderbolts movie and kind of tie that up and put him in a place where he's ready for what's coming in 2024 and 2025.
Right. Yeah, and that's...
Ooh. So that's Phase 5, and I wanted to clarify, because you had said, as you so eloquently do from time to time, you reminded me that D23 is coming in a few weeks. So let me roll this off. In the Phase 6 timeline that was shown, well, of course, we only got the three entries, right?
Right.
But there are spots, and all these are dated the same way their TV shows are dated, which is with the season, like spring, winter, fall, summer. Okay? So we have before the Fantastic Four, we have a fall 2024 television series. We then have another fall 2024 television series. We then have a winter 2024 TV series. We then have a winter 2025 TV series. a winter 2020, a spring 2025 TV series, another spring 2025 TV series. Then we have that infamous May movie, which we'll get to in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a summer 2025 TV series, a second summer 2025 series. And then the last thing, the last notation on the timeline is that movie in November of 2025. So that is, let me count here, that is two fall 2024 series, a winter 24 and a spring 25, two fall 2024s, a winter 2024, and then three spring 2025s, and two summer 2025s. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 TV spots between fall of 2024 and summer 2025 to fill.
Yep.
On the timeline.
Yep. That's what I got.
And we might get, what would you say, all 8 of those or at least half of those in a couple of weeks, maybe?
At this point, since you've revealed everything to the end of 2025, you might as well roll everything out. I don't see why they wouldn't.
And he did the last time, I remember. They did the big Comic-Con presentation in 19, and then they followed it up a couple of weeks later at D23. Mm-hmm. D23 is where we got the announcement of Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, and She-Hulk.
Yes.
So, like, those weren't announced at Comic-Con. They were announced at D23.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would expect that's what's going to happen. We're going to get a bunch of these TV shows. Some we already know about, like Armor Wars, and then some that we don't. A couple of these might be like, you know, season twos of other things. We don't know yet, but we'll find out at D23.
All right. So that brings us to your favorite thing in the world. The fact that we, with a month and a half or 2 months to spare, are going to actually get the Fantastic Four in 2024.
Yep.
Your thoughts on the fact that Kevin Feige is now quoted as saying, and I quote, the movie starts shooting next year.
So if the movie starts shooting next year, that means we get we're getting the cast for Fantastic Four before the end of this year. I also like to point out that it would be 9 years since the previous Fantastic Four movie, the one that was shot in our lovely hometown, came out. So just enough time for people to forget that that was a thing.
Fantastic Four begins filming in 2023.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll get a cast before the year's out because they got to start getting ready and all that stuff. But, yeah, I kind of figured I've been, of my not sure things, this was like my sure thing. I knew that they would announce it because they've kind of already announced it. But now we have a date. I did think we would get more in terms of a director of a cast, but they can still hold that for D23 or later if they want. So it was good to see them announce to date it, but then they gave us the added benefit, the added thing of not only is this is when this is coming, this is the start of a new phase. Like people have been so wrapped up in not liking phase four, Marvel decided to give us two phases in one night. So basically that being the start of phase six was the biggest thing about the announcement of Fantastic Four. And it's even bigger when we get to what the end of phase six is, which this is calendar wise, this is the shortest phase they've ever had.
Yeah, but I have a funny feeling all three of those movies are going to be 2 hours plus.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be massive.
So, that being said, the timeline for Phase 6 ends with Avengers, the Kang Dynasty, which has a very distinct logo, if you look at it compared to other Marvel logos over the years, and Avengers and Secret Wars in November. So, two Avengers movies in a calendar year. Something right. That's never been done before.
Right.
Because even Infinity War and Endgame are a year apart.
Right. Which, on the technical
which
side,
it could still be moved, because Marvel does still have dates staked out for 2026. So, if they did run into some kind of problem, I mean, let's not forget that it was originally intended to be called Infinity War Part 1 and 2.
Right.
So they do change things.
On the technical side, I'm like, this is kind of ambitious because they just went through this with Infinity War and Endgame, and that was a technical challenge. But maybe they've worked out the kinks, and I mean, those two came out together fine, so I have no problem thinking they'll do that again. As an aside, one of those things that came out after the panel was Feige saying that the Russo brothers are not
directing.
Yeah. Right. So it'll be somebody else. Who knows who that will be, but we have time to find that out.
Good Lord, man. Who would want that job? I mean, I know it's different from Star Wars in that, like, the stories are infamous now that, like Kathleen Kennedy went around to a bunch of people and asked a bunch of people to do Episode 7, and a bunch of people didn't want to do it because a bunch of people didn't want to be the people who had to follow George Lucas and risk the ire of that fan base. But, like, Marvel's got a pretty popular hand right now. Like, no one's sending death threats to Peyton Reed because Ant-Man the Wasp wasn't great.
Yeah, I think it's pressure because you know what it is, but I don't think it's I don't think it's like the thing with Star Wars. I think this is different. But and who knows? Maybe they'll do two different crews doing it. I can't see them doing that, but maybe, you know, we'll see. But as to the subtitles to these movies, this is basically what the end of Loki laid out. They killed the He Who Remained, and now you get all the different variants of Kang. So I think we're obviously going to get Kang, but I think we'll get those variants like, is it the Beyonder? And he has different alter egos through different times. I think we'll get all of those because the way that's going to lead to Secret Wars, where in Secret Wars, and I'm not as fluent in Secret Wars as others, but basically all of the timelines, all of the different kind of timelines had their champions that came and there was a fight. And basically what Kang said, it resulted in the merging of the timeline. And I think that's where we're headed. It looks exactly like where we're headed. Now, the thing that's intriguing about that is what's on the other side of that. Because if they're working to merge the timelines in this, I think the obvious thing that's happening on the other side of this is that the Marvel Universe will be integrated where mutants have been apart from the beginning. And the next movie on the other side of this is probably the X-Men.
And according to you, at that point, Feige, after 16 years of doing this, hangs up the Spurs and retires.
Not after this one, after that first X-Men movie. And I said that because if he gets to this point, if he is actually able to deliver on Secret Wars and it be successful and people are still into this stuff like they are right now, and then he gets to launch the X-Men, which outside of Spider-Man has been the most successful, profitable, and influential, particularly with diverse people, comic known to man, and he's able to successfully launch that. I mean, it's like, yeah, he can keep going, but you've won. You have won. You've done everything. Nobody is ever, ever going to come close to what he's accomplished at that point. So he can go and he can make, and like things could kind of, you know, get loose and whatnot, but his legacy will be cemented. But if it's me, it's like, I'm going out on top. I'll catch y'all on the flip side. But that's the difference between me and Kevin Feige. I don't know if that's what he wants to do. But you put a number on it. You said 16 years. That's a long time. And this stuff is not easy.
So, Wakanda Forever, Quantumania, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, The Marvels, Blade, Captain America New World Order, Thunderbolts, that's 7. And then Fantastic Four is 8. Kang Dynasty is 9. And Secret Wars is 10. Mm-hmm. So Secret Wars would represent the 40th movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the television show count, which, you know, he doesn't have a direct hand in, but he does, you know, some of those shows he has a more direct hand in than others, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you would have the WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, What If, Hawkeye, and then this year you would have Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, and She-Hulk. That's mm-hmm. 7, right?
And Loki.
And then you've got what?
And Loki.
And Loki, so that's 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's Secret Invasion, which is 9, Echo, which is 10, Loki Season 2, which is 11. You've got Ironheart, which is 12, Agatha, Coven of Chaos, which is 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Daredevil, Born Again, which is 14, and then you have the, what did we say, the 8 other series that are scheduled for 2024 and 2025 as part of Phase 6. So you're looking at a total of almost 40 movies and over 21 TV shows.
Right. And I don't think Secret Wars will be the 40th movie. I think it'll be like the 41st, because Marvel can't announce Sony movies, and I would bet there's a Spider-Man movie somewhere in there.
And that may be true, but like just comprehend that.
Oh yeah, that's
40 to 41 movies from 2008 to 2025.
That is insane.
So throw around some names before we move on to Black Panther, and when we get to that magic moment there, throw around some names of people who you think would be potential candidates, assuming that you're filming the movies together at the same time.
So part of me would think that they would want someone already in the Marvel fold to do it. And that's partially because that's the way they did it with the previous ones. They had the Russos in the bag, so they gave it to them. And part of me is like, okay, then maybe they'll do it with this movie. But the directors you have right now, I don't think that's the direction they'll go.
As of right now, right? So we have Ryan Coogler doing Black Panther: Wakanda Forever.
Uh-huh.
We've got Peyton Reed doing Quantumania.
Uh-huh.
We've got James Gunn doing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Mm-hmm. We've got Nia DaCosta doing The Marvels. I believe they've announced a director for Blade. I don't remember.
But I don't remember his name.
I don't remember the name. And they just announced a director for Captain America, New World Order, and Thunderbolts as well. Right. But those would all be their first rodeos. Now, depending on how well Thunderbolts goes over, Thunderbolts is an Avengers-level type film. Maybe if that works and they like the working relationship with that dude, they bring him on. But, like, I can't see you asking Taika to do these movies. I can't see you... I can't see you asking Raimi to come back and do these movies. I can't see John Watts doing any of these movies, since he's already passed on doing Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see Daniel Koopa coming back.
Yeah, Shang-Chi, yeah.
Yeah, coming back to do these movies. Kate Shortland has no interest in doing another Marvel movie, I'm sure. And Chloe Zhao just did her thing in Eternals and may come back for a second Eternals movie if it ever happens. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can't really see Chloe Zhao signing up for the Dynasty of Kang.
Right. So your Thunderbolts thought, I think that is an intriguing one, whoever does that. I would discount whoever does Fantastic Four, because that's the same year, and that sounds like insanity. So
you'd basically be shooting 3 movies at the same time. It's right. Just physically not possible.
Yeah. So to me, the short list of people that are already on the Marvel team would be Peyton Reed, because he's been there the longest. James Gunn, he's been there almost as long, or maybe longer. They're about the same. And he's got a great track record, or whoever's doing, or maybe I don't think she would want to, but I, what depending on how the Marvels turns out, maybe you get Nia to do it. I don't know if that's if she would want to, but that, to me, that's the three. I don't think James is going to do it because James has other things going on. He's already got, you know, more.
Just got married, has a whole life, like just got on the first vacation he's been on in ages.
Yeah,
and, like, and seems like he's ready to kind of slow down his workload a little bit.
Right. I think he got a taste of doing Peacemaker, and he kind of likes the way that switched things up. So I think he's going to do more stuff like that. Peyton, maybe. I don't know how the fan base would take to that. But
would it be mathematically possible for him to jump on Fantastic Four? Quantumanium's February of 23.
Yeah, because I don't. If we go on the whole yearly schedule, Fantastic Four is probably not shooting, starting to shoot until next summer at the earliest. He'll be well done with that. So
he's and we know they liked his pitch the first time around.
Right. So
and I also didn't know that he pitched him on Guardians. Like the final for Guardians was him versus James Gunn.
Yeah, I think I did know that. So he is a viable candidate. But if you're asking me who outside of that would do it, I really have no idea. Because I'm trying to think of things on that scale and people that would do it on that scale and work with Marvel. I don't know. That's a good ass question. But whoever it is, I'm sure they're going to have to lock him down soon.
The hilarity of the idea of Martin Scorsese working for Marvel and bringing their entire universe to a close.
Yeah, I'm going to just ignore that completely.
Well, I mean, according to people, they've reached out to Spielberg for Fantastic Four. So, like, if you reach out to Spielberg, who has also had not great things to say about certain aspects of commercialistic culture.
Well, yeah, but that's because Spielberg has done, like, blockbusters that, you know, popcorn-eating people go see. Scorsese, I mean, he needs a mob. He needs some type of mob. And granted, he could find a mob setting.
He either needs a mob or he needs Jesus.
Yeah. So he could probably find both allegories both in these things, but nah.
All right. So, Chad, the conclusion, the grand finale. We went to the past with what has happened so far to Phase 4. They showed us the entire lineup that they did in 19. We did the future, which is all of Phase 5 and Phase 6. And now we must gladly talk about Forever. Your thoughts, sir, on Wakanda Forever?
So, reading about this panel, I knew it was going to be emotional because all of the people that worked on the first one that came back, I know I've heard them talk. They've talked about how it weighed on them that Chadwick wasn't there and how they had to go on doing this without him and what that kind of meant. And Coogler came out and he talked about Chadwick like I knew he would. He was even wearing the chain he was wearing was a picture of Chadwick's Time magazine shoot. So the specter of Chadwick Boseman looms large over Black Panther. It has since he became Black Panther and since his unfortunate death. And that was always going to loom over this movie. So when realizing they were holding it for last, I figured it would be something special. And then they dropped the trailer and I'm not going to be able to talk a whole lot about it because really that trailer like broke me. When I watched it the first time, you can tell it's wrapped in sadness and grief. And there's the part where Angela Bassett's going off. Like, and I felt everything she was saying. And even wrapped in that, it really got me excited towards the end because you're seeing Atlantis and you're seeing the Wakandans and the Atlanteans. And it looks like
you're seeing a random person give birth.
Yeah, well, it's not a random person. It is Namor's mother because that is baby Namor. You know that because when they hold him up, you see the wings on his feet. He's the only one that has the wings on his feet. So that was we watched baby Namor get born. I'm curious as to why, but that was that. And then you know, seeing Namor, we see him, apparently we're seeing him in a couple of stages. We see him as a baby. We see him as a child. We see him as a grown man. They don't show a whole lot of shots of him, but enough that you know it's Namor. And the trailer kind of leads to the mystery of who is the Black Panther. Well, you actually don't even see the Black Panther until the end, until the very end. And it's only a side shot of them unsheathing their claws. Presumably, it looks like a woman. But we don't know who is the Black Panther. And the whole trailer, particularly at the beginning and then wrapping with that, is all about all these powerful Black women we met in the first one. And they are the driving force of this movie. And it seems like they're driving, this driving force is in, is going to be wrapped up with grief and dealing with that. So like when the trailer was over, I was like, I was super excited for it, but I was super sad. And then like just thinking about it for like 5 minutes, I just broke down. So it's, I didn't expect that from this trailer. Honestly, I mean, truth be told, everything we've heard about the production of this movie and that it's still coming out in November and everything with the death of Chadwick. And, you know, I've said it before. I was the one that said that they should recast Black Panther. They chose not to. I've always wanted this movie to be great. I just, in the back of my mind, I was like, I don't know how they can do that with everything. Like, everything is stacked against them. And then they give me that trailer that got me all emotional. And I'm like, well, hell, if the movie can be half as good as that trailer, they can evoke half the emotions that they got out of me from that. That is just, I mean, that is just an impressive work from everybody involved, because this, there's no way this thing should not work. And that trailer is telling me that it not only is going to work, it could surpass. So I see why they held it for last. That was the right thing to do. And that is why Marvel is Marvel, because anybody else would have tried to end with some pizzazz, and they ended with this emotional bomb.
And they did the same thing they did 5 years ago.
It's like the juxtaposition. Because 5 years ago, it's the cast seeing it for the first time, and they're so happy and so excited. And this one, the cast comes out, and everybody's a little more somber and emotional because, you know, everything that's involved in this movie. And then the trailer comes out, and that emotion comes out again. So it's this, it's the same, it's raw emotion, but it's juxtaposed. It's like in happy and sadness, but it's resulting in this movie that they're going to give us.
Indeed. I want to give this quote from Letty Wright, who says, "I'm really proud of us as a family, the way we came together. It was tough. It wasn't easy to come to work each day and be without our leading man. But we found the joy in the moments that we could and grabbed it."
But those are really telling words, and it's kind of what I thought they would feel going into this. And again, listen to what she said, and then look at this trailer. That those people feeling these real things, like the world fell in love with Chadwick Boseman. Those people got to know him and see him every day, and see what his representation of Black Panther was like firsthand. And then they have to go back and they have to do all of that without him and live up to that standard. And then you add in the COVID and the injuries and everything else. This trailer should not be this good. This movie should not be as good as this trailer is making it seem. They're, through no fault of their own, everything is stacked against them. Again, I say, if they pull this off, this is a fantastic work by everyone involved.
Well, I mean, I just thought that it was kind of ironic that, you know, Letty has taken all this heat for the injury and for all the COVID stuff, and then she gives such a deeply moving and respectful quote, and she's the one that broke down the most on stage. She's the one that Coogler was hugging and everybody was gathering around went on the stage after the panel. So I just found it surprising that that person of all people gave such a moving quote.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a special movie.
I think it'll be the first non Spider-Man movie to make $1 billion.
Well, the first one already did. So yeah. I mean, in this new world order. Yes. Yeah.
In phase four, because we haven't had a $1 billion movie in phase four. That is not Spider-Man. All right, Chad, so your overall final thoughts on Comic-Con Hall H 2022.
Overall, I thought it was really fun. I had a real good time with it. I'm glad to have this kind of time again. We haven't had it in a few years, so this has been fun. And my only hope out of all this is that when everyone goes home, that they were able to stay safe away from all of the various things floating around out there, so we can come back and do this again next year and those kind of things.
I mean, people, there's going to be a spike. That's just the way that this whole thing works. But that's everywhere in the nation. The president of the United States right now is dealing with it.
Right.
They made the decision to go ahead. Almost everybody I saw, a lot of mask wearing throughout all the convention photos that I've seen today and all weekend. I know that the IGN team was masked up behind, like, doing their work. Most interviewers kept the 6 foot of distance. So I think everybody kind of did the best that they could and took the chance. But, like, man, I missed this, and I was glad that we got this and got a chance to relive and experience something together as a global community, a fan community that made us talk and made us think and made us feel, which is what great film does. It makes us think and it makes us feel. But, you know, of course, Marvel films aren't great films, and they're just popcorn-coated candy. But, you know, such is life. That'll about do it for this week's Movies on the Brain podcast, number 4 for the week. We would like you to please follow our new Twitter account, @OnTheBrainPod, and we will have a virtual tip jar and our Patreon links up soon. One of the more interesting ideas for our Patreon specials for our listeners is a bi-weekly episode in which Chad takes a movie score and talks specifically about the music of that particular film. Because we all know how much Chad Metz loves his music. I do. If you know this podcast, you know that Chad did an entire episode breaking down the Batman themes from the various movies. And so,
I forgot I did that.
So he's going to do that again. He's going to pick films at random, and he's going to talk about the film scores and the soundtracks and where they stack up and how things go. We're also looking at doing episodes between the two of us where we take a movie that has been nominated or won the Academy Award in a previous year and talk about its production history, its impact on the industry, and the film as a whole by itself. So those are a couple of ideas that we're floating around there that will be interesting. But we'll give you all the information and all the details on that as they come up. Follow us on Twitter @OnTheBrainPod. And I am @TheMetsTheory.
Well, and I'm @BCWTigerFan.
Long day, folks. Long, long day. And our producer is @GrantLFletcher. Thank you very much. Have a pleasant day. And Matt Goldberg can go fly a kite. Mark Sanchez is the greatest quarterback in the history of the New York Jets.
See, too far. Too far.
I kind of just went off on Matt Goldberg on Twitter, so that was fun.
Oh, I didn't see this. I've kind of been away from the computer for the last hour. Let's see.
Yeah, basically he was like posting a picture of a junkie and saying, "This is Marvel fans when you put a bunch of logos and dates on a big screen."
And I was like, please just let us have fun. Like, that's all this is. This is just a giant chance for us to have fun and talk movies. Like, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. Like, I get that you like, you hate teaser culture and you hate the big corporations and all the rest of it. And you wish that, like, more people were seeing Rochelle and Marcel Lachelle with shoes. But, like, let us have fun, man. Like, this is just a conversation. It's not, you know, us running around naked with our pants on fire because this happened. It's us gathering around the proverbial communal, you know, watering hole to talk about what we just saw. It's not, you know, the tweet right before that was a tweet saying, well, you know, we may not have a democracy in 2025, but, you know, we got a an Avengers movie coming. So there's that. Good things.
Like, dude, just don't like this stuff and go away. It's not that hard.
It's also just not that hard to not be that petty and mean about it. Like, one of the reasons that we're in this position that we're in now, where we have these breakdowns, is because of all the gatekeeping. That somehow you are either only a popcorn fan or you're a cinephile, and that doesn't work. This stuff, this fluff stuff, this popcorn stuff that they all complain about, it's a gateway. It's a gateway to getting people to be introduced to other higher forms of art. Somebody sees Black Panther and they go and they watch Fruitvale Station because it was the same guy that made Black Panther. Let me see some of the other things that he's done. Like, it's a gateway. It can lead to them learning more about some of the different stuff. So when you belittle people and you beneath people for getting excited about sitting around a television, like, his own website less than a week ago ran a article talking about phase four needs to end soon and have it all wrapped up and be in a big bow because this aimless wildness is stupid. And yet, what did we get tonight? He told you phase four is ending in November. Phase five is this many movies. And guess what? We're going to conclude all of it with phase six and these three movies. And the whole thing is called the Multiverse Saga. Guess what? You now have your roadmap. And so now you're making fun of us for getting excited about the things that are laid out on the roadmap that your own website said needed to be published because none of this stuff made any sense.
Well, I just went and checked his little Twitter timeline and, he's like, I saw what you tweeted, but he's also like, I can't help but think that if phase four wasn't such a misfire, that they wouldn't lay out all of six. They're doing this. One, he said they're doing this because phase four sucks so bad. They had to do this. And another tweet he said that Marvel has to earn back people's trust because phase four has sucked so much. And I just... like, on one hand, I can see if you didn't like things in phase four that Marvel might have, like, you might be a little wary of Marvel, but to say they don't have your trust, like, if Marvel has lost your trust, or if you don't have trust in Marvel, they didn't have it from the start, that you're one of those people that had to be sold every time something was coming out. And that's fine. But people that like these movies, I mean, particularly if you're older like us and have seen other types of movies like this, even if you think phase four sucks, it is nothing compared to some of the other things we've seen. And even if you think it's a low, I don't think it's a low that made you say, I just don't trust anything Marvel's going to do ever again and get off the train completely. So all that to say,
he was never really on the train to begin with.
And that's the thing.
All, like, of this stuff is just offensive to him, and maybe not offensive to him, but, like, it's offensive to people like him that these things exist, because it's not that they don't think that they're good. It's that the people who are frustrated because Nightmare Alley makes $1 million when it's released on the same day as Spider-Man Far From Home Spider-Man No Way Home. Like, that's the people who are pissy. It's the people who have remained pissy for years that that Steve Jobs ended up not even making the top 100 in box office that year it came out. And so very few people saw Sorkin's follow up to Social Network. It's like, okay, I can't help you, bro. Like, you know, you can't make the audience, the masses feed on a certain thing. And everything that he is saying tonight just kind of resonates with the idea of he wasn't on board. He didn't like it. And if you look, and here's the crazy part of it. If you look at what Phase 4 did, Phase 4 is about grief and reacting to what happened in Endgame. That's it. It sets up what's to come because Kang the Conqueror set his ass down there for an entire season finale and told you what was coming. So don't give me this, well, I don't know. We had no idea where it was going. Jonathan Majors laid it out for you in the season finale of Loki. There was a multiverse. I controlled the multiverse. You're going to kill me. You're going to unlock the multiverse. And all kinds of craziness is going to happen. And the more violent versions of me are coming. That is what he literally said. And he also made it very, very clear that the only way that you could reunite the timelines is to have another multiversal war. So, don't tell me it was aimless. Don't tell me that they are doing what they did tonight as a reaction. They did what they were doing tonight to let you know because they were tired of you bitching at them for not having a plan. When the entire time they had a plan and these stories were intimately involved. Falcon and Winter Soldier leads directly to Thunderbolts. You can't do Thunderbolts without Black Widow and Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, it all connects. It's all telling a story. It's just he wasn't telling the story fast enough for you. And so now he's giving you the entire layout of where everything is going. And you're like, well, we may not have a democracy in 2025, but you assholes enjoy your little silly film.
See, when you got to pull out stuff like that, it means you don't, your argument really has nothing to stand on. Like, cause you're not arguing on the merits anymore. You're switching it to this false equivalency when yes, we all understand that there are more important things to talk about than movies. You're the one that started talking about movies in the first place. So we're arguing with you on that ground.
You make your money doing it.
Yeah. So when you get pissy in the end, don't go and turn it to something else. That's not what we started from. Both of these things can exist at the same time. We're talking about movies. We have things going on with our country. Those are two separate things. They don't have to be compared. You're only comparing them because since your argument is so faulty, you want to belittle the whole thing and say that we shouldn't even care about any of this because we got to worry about this over here. But again, like you said, he gets paid for talking about movies. Stay talking about the movies. This would all be over if he just said, I don't like these movies. I don't like them. Like, there might be some that I like, but overall, I don't like them. I don't like the things surrounding them. Just go have them, and I'll be over here doing my own thing. That's all that matters. Do what you like. Stop crapping on everybody else.
But he's the same guy who craps on the Academy as being pointless. So,
wait, so what makes him happy then?
I don't know what makes him happy, but there's an in-between there, I guess. There's the films that should be making more money are the films that are more artistic, and the Academy isn't doing a good enough job recognizing those films. So the Academy is also failing because they're including other shit that they don't need to include because they want to get hip with it.
Okay, but I mean, what artistic, quote unquote, artistic movie is really raking in all the money? They're really not designed for that. They're designed to tell their stories and be these pieces of art, and people see them if they see them. And most people will, as in this day and age, most people will not see them. But again, when everybody's getting filtered through these big projects, seeing a Chris Evans in something like that, they'll be like, oh, it's Captain America. Maybe I'll see it. That you don't want to diminish what this is. Like, what this is in front of you. Yes, these are big blockbuster movies. And do they take up too much oxygen? Probably. But people like them. They do tell stories. They might not be the types of stories you like. Get over that. But one, it's paying these actors that you like so they're able to make the other works that you like. Two, it might expand somebody's horizon. They see something else that they like because they've seen people that they recognize in these other movies. Because truth be told, a lot of these artsy-fartsy movies, there is no other hook. Like, most of them, I mean, if people don't know people in them, they're not going to go see them because most of those movies are like adult-driven dramas, and every time they're marketing them, most of them seem like dour things that I don't want to spend my money to see in the theater, because why am I going to sit there and be depressed for 2 hours? But there are audiences for that. And you can open up new people to go at least experiment with them. And maybe they might not like that thing, but they'll see something else because they saw that and they might like that. And they go down another rabbit hole. Don't close people off. That's how you section it off. And that's how it withers and dies, all of it. So stop sectioning it off. Just let people enjoy what they like and be surprised where they go after that.
And don't allow pieces to be written on your website that talk about how random and ambling the thing is, and then get mad when they tell you what where the thing is going.
I always hated that them saying that. Everybody that said Phase 4 is aimless. Where is it going? It has no point. Like, we had other phases. The first phase, we knew it was building to Avengers just because of the characters that were involved. We knew nothing else. There was no other build. After the first Avengers, we saw Thanos, but when I saw Thanos the first time, I thought, oh, the Avengers sequel is going to go to Thanos. I didn't know they were going to build this entire hulking saga thing to lead to Thanos years down the line. So I did not expect, I mean, there's a reasonable expectation of that at this point, but I figured we had the really big thing. Now we got to go back to the small stuff. So you do the small stuff to inch back up to something big. That's all this ever has been. And I don't understand why that was so hard for people to comprehend before today.